So it came up pretty suddenly that now here's a window, you know, weather-wise and everything. We kind of had to do it this weekend or not at all.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I am Chip.
And I'm Chris, and this is episode 36 of the show. On next week's show, we have something which I think is very exciting. We have George and Pontus of Kraken Swim Run. They're on the show to talk about their three-day epic ultra swim run adventure that essentially covered the entire Stockholm archipelago. And yes, you heard that right. We're talking 242 total kilometers, traversing 79 islands in 42 hours. And no big deal, but George and Pontus are also the reigning Atala World Champs and super cool dudes. We'll talk more about this later in the show.
Yes, so on to our training update. We went from, you know, fire and brimstone, literally, to, hey, we're racing Odyssey Swim Run on November 8th. So now the training has ramped up. It has now new purpose to it. We're full of excitement and giddy to get out there and race again. So have some swim runs coming up planned, and we're just getting back in the pool now that the smoke has kind of died down here in Northern California. We're able to start training outdoors again at just the right time. If you are wanting to race again this year and you're in the States or outside, you can actually get a discount on the Odyssey Swim Run Austin race. Use the code LOWTIDEBOYS and you'll save yourself a cool 25% off your entry for any of those races in Austin. So you can, that works for the, you know, the long course team distance or the short course solo distance. So any of them, you can save 25%. And we really look forward to seeing everybody out there in Austin.
Yeah, and
in
definitely
early November.
And definitely let us know if you sign up so that we can be looking out for you. We'll try to do something before the race. Not sure yet. We obviously want to make sure we're following all public health guidelines, but we'll see if we can do some sort of meetup. So let us know if you're going to come out.
A masked meetup.
Masked meetup. Sounds good.
So now on to the shout-outs.
Yeah, so this week we're shouting out our friend Justin. We've known him for years, and he got hooked on swim run at the sprint distance at Atala Catalina, and he recently sent us just some lovely feedback on the show, and we just really appreciate him for taking the time to do that. He's a good dude, and
new dad,
and super stoked that he's stoked on swim run.
Yes, we love seeing those emails and comments and everything, so keep those coming. It's always nice to see and read those. So, on to now, the feats of endurance. So, now that has to be a thing, I guess.
Yeah,
maybe I should just stop
it. It's your thing.
I
think it's your thing.
Maybe I'll stop doing it. So, the award this week goes to Nuno. He raced Swim Run Zezere. He raced Swim Run Zezere over the weekend. And, of course, after the episode with Bruno from Swim Run Portugal, it just got our FOMO, fear of missing out, all messed up. And we were really jealous of the race he got to do there. So congrats on that. Bumper sticker, you know, coming your way. And if you want to get the Feats of Endurance Weekly Award, you got to be sure to join our Strava Club. And that's just on Strava. Search Low Tide Boys, and we're right there. Join up. And let the kudos rain down. Now for our new favorite segment, This Week in Swim Run.
Cue the music. All right, so a lot of people were feeling the good vibes from last week's Atala Sprint Final 15K race in Uta. And jumped into races this past weekend. So from what I could tell, there were three major races that happened. One was the Vasterra swim run, which took place in, I can't
Bjarnan?
Even do it.
Bjarnan?
Yeah, Bjarnan, Sweden. The race was capped. We've seen this in a couple of Swedish races now. It was capped to 150 participants, and each wave had 50 athletes. They apparently had two DJs on the course blasting beats, which is pretty cool. But I think the one thing I really loved about this race and doing my sort of deep internet research was there's some really funny team names. including Team Cold Soups and Abrasions, Team Half Decent Sea Lions, Team Latina Lovers, which I was like, oh that's wow. That's interesting. And I think my favorite was Team Chips on the Couch and Cream on the Waffle. Not really sure what that means, but yeah, and I have to give honorable mention Team Earth, Wind, and Water. I thought that was pretty good.
Nice.
Nice little throwback there.
I like that.
So that was a fun race. Next up, we had Breca in Jersey. So Breca Swim Run in Jersey, which I was like, oh, Jersey, that's interesting. Is that like old Jersey compared to New Jersey in the U.S.? So Jersey is apparently the largest of the Channel Islands. It's located between England and France. I did not know that. They had a 20K race on this island. It looked pretty, pretty cool. And I'll say, I'm just going to speak for Chipper, that I'm adding this race to our already voluminous bucket list of races to do, because it just looks so super cool to be on just
I'll add it to
island.
Mine then. For those Breca races, they do have a lot of really epic ones.
Yeah, and then finally, as we mentioned before, so Cesare Swim Run took place, which happens on the Cesare River in Portugal. They had two distances, 31K and a 14.7K. And if you want to learn more about Swim Run in Portugal, you should listen to our episode from last week with Bruno Safara, who's a race director and basically taking it upon himself to grow the sport in Portugal, which is pretty cool. I'm sure we've missed some events. Always feel free to email us if you want to tip us off. That's actually where I really want to get to with this segment, where people just tell us when the races are happening. But until then, I will do my best to continue my internet research of 20 to 35 minutes to
That's
give
your
you all the breaking
Love
news.
It. Love it. Now, speaking of breaking news, on to the Low Tide Boys updates. Our latest column in our latest Swim Run column in Triathlete Magazine is up. It's called The Full Spec Swim Run Kit, and it's out on the internet now. So check it out. Let us know if you agree with the choices for the top-of-the-line kit for all those. That will be on the banner of our homepage, or you could just go to Triathlete Mag and find that there. Also, another cool update due to popular demand, only by Chris and I, we are going to do a run of merchandise. So we've been kind of selling the T-shirts through a website there that we didn't have a lot of say on. We've actually started doing it ourselves. So now we have some pretty cool options for you. We're going to be doing a few different things. We have what's called the Low Tide Boys Standard Issue, which is a navy shirt with white Low Tide Boys logo. And then every year or season or whenever we decide the interval, we're doing kind of an inverse two shirts. So one shirt will be Chris, what is it like, Pat, like a powdery blue kind of?
Yeah, so one's a royalish blue with a pink logo, and one's a pink shirt with a bluish logo. So
so this will be the only time that we're printing these specific colors, and then we'll kind of mix it up and do the inverse ones if it catches on. But pre-orders are available now, and we'll ship those out whenever we get them.
Yeah, probably in about a week or so.
A couple weeks, yeah. So head on over to lowtideboys.com for that.
We should just get into this interview, because this interview is pretty amazing. So you'll definitely want to check out the show notes, maybe even as you're listening to it, because we're
going
to put a lot of details in there as to this 3-day, 42-hour journey that these guys essentially decided to do a week before they did it. I mean, it's so true to the spirit of Swim Run to just be like, hey, man, it's just island-to-island stuff. Like, no worries.
Yeah.
We'll just need a boat to make sure we don't get run over by other boats. It was pretty amazing. And George and Pontus, I mean, you would never know that these guys are very, very top of the sport.
They're the pointiest end of
Yeah, they're like as pointy the end as you can be. And they're just great guys and just sort of emblematic of everything we've seen in Swim Run is just, you know, everybody just being cool. And we really appreciate them being on the show because it's kind of like an exclusive, you know. This just happened last week. We got them on the show. It's like we're little baby journalists. So I'm loving that.
Without further ado, here's George and Pontus from Kraken Swim Run on the Ultra Kraken Swim Run Adventure.
Yes. Enjoy.
Kraken.
Fear the Kraken.
Kraken.
With us today, we have George Fialkimo. I'm so sorry, George. And Pontus Lindberg of Kraken Swim Run to chat about their epic three-day swim run adventure covering basically the entire Stockholm archipelago. Yes, you heard that right. 242 total kilometers, traversing 79 islands in 42 hours. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so first question that I know all of our listeners are curious about, why?
Because it is there.
Hey, that's a better reason than any other.
Yeah, there's no better answer to that than that, I guess.
So how did this whole, I mean, obviously the Utala World Championship got canceled. Probably about, what was it, 6 weeks before the event was supposed to take place. So how did the plans kind of come about? When did this first seed of this idea get planted in whose head? Who's responsible for that?
I think we have been talking about this for some years, actually. We have a friend, Thomas Ogander, that's been thinking about this also. So we've been talking about this after our training sessions, for quite some time, but we didn't plan to do it this year. And then obviously the cancellation of the World Champs was a big disappointment. And I don't know, George, how we came up with that we should do this one now.
Yeah, I mean, the subject has surfaced a couple of times, but we've never really, said that we actually should do it. I mean, it's always been sort of there.
Later on.
So this time I think it was, we started planning this just about a week before we actually did it, pretty much.
Wow.
A little bit more. And so it came up pretty suddenly that now here's a window. Weather-wise and everything, we kind of had to do it this weekend or not at all. And after Utala was canceled, there was a few weeks there where we didn't know what to do.
Yeah, you have all this fitness, you might as well try to do something. So, you know, it was Helena, George, that sort of tipped us off to let us know that this was happening, and she was just kind of like, oh, hey, by the way, you know, we got these people doing this crazy thing. We think you should know about it. And we were like, what? So before we go into breaking down the sort of each stage and kind of get like a race report from you guys and your adventure, you know, we'd love to hear a little bit more about sort of your swim run pedigree, like how you came up in the sport, you know, and sort of how you became sort of fit enough to even think about
tackle
doing
such
this.
An adventure.
We both come from triathlon background. We were on the national Swedish team together, and that's where we got to know each other, and we're also on the same triathlon team outside of that. I did Ironman racing, and George did half Ironman. And I think what we said was that when we retire, we should do an Utala race together or swim run race together, just to see what it is like. And we thought that we would be a good complement to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right, George?
Yeah. So it kind of.
George is like, I don't know. I don't know about that.
it grew into something much bigger. So
pretty fast.
I'm fast. So we've. For the last maybe 3 years, we've been racing a whole lot and never really been looking back at triathlon since then.
That seems to happen, I've noticed. So, yeah. So it sounds like you were great training partners. You were on the same national team, which is a pretty high point athletically in your career, I would assume. And then you thought, hey, we got all this fitness and we see all these swim runners around. Let's just give it a shot. And you thought you would be great partners. And then you kind of got hooked, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And now your bike has cobwebs on it at your house?
Yeah. I actually sold both.
That's great.
That's very funny.
And we also train a lot together now. So we do about, what is it? Maybe like at least 8 sessions each week together, I think.
Wow.
Nice.
That's
even better than Chipper and me.
Yeah, we live about a mile from each other, a couple miles. That's short in U.S. distance, but you know, maybe not for Europeans. But I'd love to hear a little bit about kind of like what's a normal training week like for you two, as you kind of, do you plan your sessions together if you are partners and everything, and is it more or less intense than kind of your triathlon training?
It's basically we do about, pretty much all year round, we do about 4 swim sessions and 4 runs.
Okay.
Run sessions a week, and it varies a little bit over the year what we do more specifically, but in the swimming we can sort of do whatever type of sessions all year round, since it's not taking such a big toll.
Right.
And it's not a big risk injury wise. So we do a lot of the, you know, threshold and the H2 max type of sessions we can do more often in the swimming, and build more volume focus on the running. Simply put, I don't know if you want to add anything there.
No, I mean, we vary the rounds, so we have a different kind of session, of course, there also. But when we get closer to the summer, we start doing really long sessions, so we're up to 75Ks of running and things like that in trail running.
So I think that's really interesting, because earlier in the show you mentioned that you guys basically were thinking about this, and it kind of took a week to kind of get it all set up. So it's not like you were essentially training up for this.
Like, you were already trained up.
Like, you're already pretty trained up, but how much volume were you doing to basically think, oh yeah, 3 days, 242K, like,
yeah, you're doing
no worries.
12, 14 hour sessions a day. I mean, those are monster days. Those are Ironman plus 12 hours, 15 hours, 15 hours. I mean, that's insane.
Well, this whole thing we didn't actually really train for. I mean, we were training for Ötlö, so one of these days,
okay.
No, but at a lot higher pace, of course.
Sure.
Exactly trained for this.
Okay.
It felt kind of relaxed doing it, since we didn't have to try to shake people off all the time.
I like that. So you your approach to it was different. It wasn't kind of that you're on the rivets all the time, always in the red, like you would in a race. You know, if there's someone coming up behind you got to catch somebody, there's always that kind of yo-yoing type stuff during the race. It was more of a, hey, the mentality was kind of this longer, hey, we're just going to have fun and embrace this large day.
Yeah, it was more like a long training day.
Okay.
Yeah, and you guys pretty much all stuck together the whole time, and you had crew, you had people on boats, you had, yeah, it looked like a pretty big people making you sandwiches.
It was a production.
And stuff.
it turned out a big social event as well.
We had a lot of our friends with us, and that were with us large parts of the way, and we always had one of Annika and Christine, the female world champs. They did a relay, so we always had one of them with us on the course.
Oh, nice! A little fresher, someone to keep on, you know, keep you guys on your toes.
I love that. It's like, all right, Annika, you go swim. I'm just gonna hang out on the boat for 6K or whatever. That's great. So why don't we dive into it? So it was essentially 3 days. You started in Arolma at dawn on Friday the 28th, And your plan was to essentially try to make it to Landsport, which was 80K away. So what was the strategy, if you can run through? I mean, I kind of want to break it down like day by day, everything. So why don't we talk about day one, how that went, start to finish?
Or a condensed version, since we don't have 12 hours quite.
Yeah, basically we tried to, we did the maps the week before.
Okay.
And try to find a course that would be the not the shortest, but with a good balance between swim and run. Because the shortest way through the archipelago would be like swimming all the time. And that wouldn't be good, of course. So we tried
to... What's the fun in that?
Yeah.
So we tried to... Worried about this water temperature also, how that would affect us if we put too much swimming in there.
It sounds like the whole week prior was logistical concerns, planning
absolutely.
And all your nutrition and your crew. I know if something like this came across our radar, there would be, you know, you kind of have your crew or your people, they start getting interested and they start supporting you and kind of helping. Is that, how did that kind of process come about with Kristen and Annika coming on board, and with all your aid station or your energy station support and everything? Was that all pre, that was kind of that whole week before? Or how did the logistical situation pan out?
Well, the week before, it was a bit of a chaos. to get everything together, you know.
We didn't have a boat driver.
Pulling different strings to get nutrition and find the right boat driver, and you know, so there were a lot of loose ends up until like the very last day.
Wow!
But we focused on the boat driver. At first, because I mean, if we wouldn't have that, it wouldn't have been possible at all. But we had the boat early on itself.
so you had a boat, you just needed a driver.
Yeah.
So
we're shaking up every guy we knew that could handle a boat. And I was shaking with my cousin, he's a boat driver in the military, and things like that.
Too funny.
Yeah, that's pretty great. And then it looks like you bought half of the Ed Nature's Cliff Bar supply, what they had in their store or whatever. So how did all your, how many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches did you all go through?
A lot.
Well, I mean, the only thing that we realized, looking back, it would have been good with a lot more proper food than we actually consumed.
Right.
You know, that was on the down low while we were consuming huge amounts of sport drinks, bars, and things like that. But so we learned something there, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, you can use that the next time you do it. Maybe you go up instead of down the archipelago. just to mix it up.
Yeah, actually, the last day, there is a very long swim on the last day. We did, of course, now it's 6.3 Ks. It could have been up to 8 if we had chosen another way. And we were supposed to have a strong gale going the opposite direction of the swim with 15 meters per second.
Ooh.
And that would have been, a challenge. We're not sure that we would have made it. So that would have been... an idea to go the other direction then to have the
wind there
somewhere.
You go. Right. So the week before you guys actually set off, sounds a lot like my college career, that you're just jamming all the knowledge you can into 1 week, trying to find a boat driver, planning these maps out before the big dance on the final day. So that morning when you saw it out was how many people did you have with you? It looked like you had a big crew of 12, 15, 15 folks that were kind of supporting the Kraken Ultra Swim Run adventure.
I think altogether we were 11, including the boat driver.
Nice.
So there were probably about, most of the time it was maybe the boat driver and two or three others on the boat.
Mm-hmm.
and the rest were kind of, you know, with us.
Okay. Well, let's talk about stage one. So this first day was 12 hours, 80 kilometers total, 16,000 meters of swimming and 64K of running, 32 islands. Yeah. So how did that first day go?
Well, the first day went very well, actually. Yeah, we didn't have any big misfortunes there, I think. What do you say, George?
No, that was
pretty straightforward. Yeah, getting into it and checking out the pace. And we realized that, we weren't really sure that we were going to be able to, since we had really bad maps, we didn't have any orienteering maps. And some islands on day two, we knew that they're going to be a big challenge because it's pretty much uncharted territory. So we knew that we would have to have quite a high pace. And but on the first day, we found that, okay, this is probably going to work.
We actually came in ahead of time, our targeted time on day one. And we felt pretty fresh. And the weather was just right.
So was there this kind of a little bit layer of, I don't want to say doubt, but uncertainty about the whole event, about if it could even be done? Or talk us through a little bit about your mental sort of standpoint on that first stage. It sounds like the first stage was really a good confidence boost almost for the team.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, definitely. We didn't know for sure in advance how high pace we needed to aim for or anything like that. And know how conservative we had to be at the same time. So that was tough to figure out. And we were pretty optimistic after the first day, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was like, all right, we kept it chill. At the end of the first day, you're like, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. We can do this for two more days.
Yeah.
that's rather impressive. So when you finished 12 hours, so it was probably, or you started pretty early in the morning, so you ate and then tried to go right into recovery, or how? I would assume recovery was probably a big portion of your evening and sleeping.
Yeah, exactly. First eating, of course, and then taking care of the equipment so it would be good to go in the morning, because we started really early before the first light, so we actually swam with headlamps. And then just be able to rest. But we didn't sleep that much. I think it was like 5 hours the first day and 2 hours the second day, for different reasons.
Yeah.
And did you guys stay in like a hotel or like on the boat? Where did you guys sleep?
We stayed at hostels that are run by the tourist
tourist organization, I guess.
Tourist organization, the Swedish tourist organization. So and we had that for all of the nights, pretty much.
So so stage one finished well, good confidence boost. So you fire off on stage two, you're gonna head to Orno, actually, and that ended up taking you 15 hours, 86 kilometers with 8,700 meters of swimming. So, quote-unquote, easier on the swim than day one, but longer, 77-plus Ks of running. And that's when you tackled the pig swim there, and then you also had your longest run of 18.5 kilometers. So how did stage two or day two play out for Kraken?
Yeah, that's where we knew we had the uncharted island. So and it proved to be really tough, much worse than we thought. The maps we had was really bad because there were no really good scale of that island, since there is nothing on it. It's just nature.
It's just like a rock sticking out of the water.
It proved to be really dense forest and lots of thorns. So we ripped up our skin and lots of canyons. So we had to more or less climb time to get past a lot of mountains. And we actually moved out to the coast and swam 4 or 5 times because just to get past different mountain formations on that island. So that took a lot of time. When it was after 5 hours, we had just a progress of 20 kilometers. It also took a lot of. It was hard on the map reading, so a bit tiring on the brain also to try to orienteer with it, this really bad map.
So when you say uncharted, you mean there's no defined trails on this island. It's literally, like Chris said, it's just this landmass that no one has necessarily tried to make a trail through or run or do anything across.
Exactly.
And you guys just took it on.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a wild concept over here in California that I don't see how. I don't know. It's just so foreign to me.
Someone would plant a flag on every island.
Yeah, somebody would try to conquer it here.
So the first 20K took you guys 5 hours. How did you know, day two looks like it took you 15. So you definitely picked up the pace. Was it after you got through some of these difficult islands?
The plan for the day was still that everything would get easier as soon as we hit the Ötele course. That everything, you know, we know that one by heart, so we wouldn't.
We would get
some of the, you know, gain some of the time back there. But everything was like pushed forward. So also nutrition wise, everything was happened a little bit later than it was supposed to. I think everything. You know, just the fact that it took so long affected us in many different ways, and also kind of stressed us out a little bit because we knew that, I mean, we could make it to Urne and do the run in dark, in pitch black, pretty much. But we had to sleep also. It could be an issue
if
we would have had to do a longer swim in complete darkness, you know, so we saw that as a problem. You know, that's why we started out at the before the first light, because we wanted to make sure that we had enough daytime.
Gotcha. So you were kind of relying on the Ötele, the world champ course, that you knew the pace you could push and send out on that, and it was kind of the uncharted part in the beginning that had you left a little bit uncertain. And then kind of once you fall behind on those calories and you miss some aid station, or you start taking that aid or the energy a little bit too late, I mean, that's a really tough way to come out of. Just because once you have that deficit, it's tough to really dig out of that. That's rather impressive. It sounded like stage two your most kind of taxing day, both physically and mentally, or was there another surprise on day three?
It was cooler, but day two was really, it was also raining a lot, heavy rain, but that doesn't matter that much when you're doing swim run. You have the right clothes, right?
Right.
But we got pretty cold in the end on Urne in the rain, and it was dark, and we were happy to arrive.
You're happy to get there, and then then you had your hostel.
And then that night you only slept 2 hours? Night two?
I wasn't feeling too good. I think it was had to do a bit with the fact that we came in late. We got our food, and then we knew that we're way behind, so we just gotta eat fast and go to bed. And we ate a whole lot, and didn't make me feel particularly good later on when it was time to hit the bed. So I was probably So I had to go out and get some fresh air, and then Pontus was wondering where I what happened to me. So and then I just came back.
He's like screw this, I'm taking
and
off.
Fell asleep right away, and that wasn't the case for Pontus then. But
I was a bit worried because George was out walking in the night feeling ill, so I was just getting up and going to fetch him when he arrived, and then I couldn't fall asleep again. So, yeah.
I slept like a baby, though, that night. That was my best night.
That's hilarious. And how are the bodies feeling after, you know, you're going on nearly 30 hours endurance the past couple days. How are the bodies feeling?
I think that was a factor too, or at least from my perspective, I was really starting to feel it. And after the first day, I felt really fresh. And after the second day, I just, this is, a little uncertainty about how mm-hmm. day three would pan out, because my legs were pretty sore at that point.
To be honest, I'm already sore just hearing about you guys talking about this, so I can understand that. Okay, so... it doesn't sound like you got a great night's sleep. Your bodies are a little worn down. The minds are a little zapped due to some map stuff. So going into day three, how was kind of the outlook? How was the outlook for you all?
I was pretty sure, though, that the legs would get going when we started, even though they felt like shit in the evening. Yeah, and it also turned out that way.
Yeah, surprisingly well working the day after. mm-hmm. But the expectations were fairly low still, so of how well the legs were going to work.
Yeah, so stage three was Orno to Lansort, 15 hours, 76K with 13,700 meters of swimming and 62,000 kilometers of running, 25 islands. The longest swim was over 6,000 meters, and the longest run was 13.8 kilometers. So we saw pictures of post-swim where everybody was in the fetal position on the rocks afterwards
with two wetsuits on.
With two wetsuits on. Yeah, let's talk about day three.
We were still on the Atelier course, so that was kind of easy in the beginning. We knew the way. Somehow we managed to get lost. I don't know. I think we were tired or something. But we got on the right track again, and then down to Ute. That's a quite easy run. It's basically a road through the whole island. 10Ks or something like that, and after that there are a couple of small islands, and then we're preparing for that big swim, the Danziger Gut, which actually is an area known to be very stormy and with big waves and rough conditions, and the boats having trouble there throughout the years, even since the 1600s or 1500s, they had there were a lot of boats crashing there.
It's a big shipping lane also.
Yeah, all the boats going to Stockholm and Nynäshamn, which is a port city south of Stockholm, go through this place. So that could be a challenge also, if there was a big ferry or oil tanker coming our way.
I see why you had a hard time finding a boat captain now.
But we got the best, actually. He's so good. He actually had to stop a couple of boats coming in our way. Not on that swim, but on other days. And then we changed suits for that. We put on a second wetsuit for that swim, and we had a friend of ours, Per, he's called, being in the lead on that swim. It's very good. Yeah.
Now, it definitely looked like you had other folks from your kind of training circle come in. Is that actually what happened? Is that, your friend would come out and run a couple Ks with you or do a swim with you? Is that how it went out, or was it kind of mostly you two on this adventure yourself?
Well, they were around the whole group out of the 10 were kind of picking whatever sections they felt like, and then for the long swim we early on said that, hey, if any one of you feels like leading this one, you're more than welcome, and also we had one friend, Joachim, he was preparing to do the navigation once we got over to Nynäshamn. So he kind of saved himself to do that section and help us out with the maps, because that was also one part of the course that was unfamiliar to us, and we didn't have that good map, those good maps for that.
And we were also really stupid after those 2 days. it felt good that we didn't have to do all the orienteering ourselves.
Oh, your brain,
yeah,
your brain wasn't working, wasn't firing on all cylinders.
No, exactly.
Yeah, it's almost like having sort of like a crew chief the last day, just telling you what to do was good.
You had an endurance hangover.
Yeah, pretty much.
Awesome. So I want to hear the last leg or two where you saw the finish line, so to speak, in your sights. Kind of how was that building up? Were you guys getting just so excited that this was happening, and to have everyone and your kind of crew around must have been such a really cool feeling of accomplishment on such a incredible journey.
Yes, that was really, to have all the friends. I mean, that's the guys we pretty much, or for me at least, that's the guys I hang out with since we train with them. Mm-hmm. So that's really fun to have all those your best friends with you on this trip. But in the end, we were so cold. I think maybe I was the coldest. So we really had to pull the pace up to not. It was so cold, mm-hmm. so we had to go quite fast to keep warm. So we couldn't. We had to stress the swims, especially since it was really cold in the water.
How cold waters are we talking about here?
I don't really know, but I think it's like 13 Celsius or something.
So that's about, for our American fans, that's the mid-50s. That's like 55. That's cold. That is cold, yes.
Wow. And it was also cold in the air that day, so we didn't really heat up when we were up in the when we were running. So we kept the pace quite high.
Plus the sun was about to set. So once we came onto Landsort, we only had about 30 minutes until it was dark, pretty much. So it was probably a good thing for that reason as well to push the pace a little bit, even though we weren't fully aware of that when we were doing it.
That was not the aim, at least.
Right. So you finish your quest. What's the first thing that you do once you hit your proverbial finish line? Do you guys have a beer? Take a nap?
Get a blanket?
Start
a towel.
Crying? That's what I would do. I would just start crying.
Well, that would have been very nice. But the problem was that the whole Landsort was closed down. So we couldn't do any of that. We changed clothes without a shower and entered the boat and started going home.
Oh wow!
Yeah. Oh, man. We haven't done proper celebrations at all. So we're gonna have to take care of that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But also the boat ride and the transportation home was going to take a long time. So people needed to get home.
Oh, man.
Yeah, some people with five-month-old babies at home.
Yeah.
Did you at least sleep in the next day, or did you wake up for get a couple early Ks in the pool or something?
Well, I had to stay in bed all day. But so I had to call in sick for that one.
I unfortunately have to go to work. So
So it was just like zombie day.
Yeah,
zombie
day
at work. So I guess, you know, the second question that I think our listeners would definitely like to know is, would you do this again?
Definitely something like this, but maybe not the same course. But we've actually already been talking about doing something similar on another place.
Yeah,
we haven't come up with where that should be yet, though. But
I love it.
Interesting.
So it's like Kraken Swim Run is just going to be the people to do the crazy.
Yeah, tell us
crazy
what
ultra stuff.
Tell us what Kraken Swim Run is all about.
Oh man, I mean, we're this will sound very cheesy, but I mean, as Ponta said, we're pretty much, well, a very social group, but we're also, you know, pretty focused training wise. So it's a fun gang, and it's more or less sort of like a family by now.
We do a lot of training, nice. So, and also just a lot of fika afterwards.
Yeah, so I mean, so if we train hard, we also fika hard. You know, it's a lot of social stuff and connections, just as much as as the training is pretty ambitious.
I'm going to expand my Swedish to three words now. I have talk, chasmisk, and fika. Is that, what does that mean? Like party?
Party.
Not exactly. Fika is more coffee drink.
Oh, I love
cinnamon buns and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Oh, cinnamon.
I love
cinnamon buns.
Okay, so we're gonna have to have a Low Thai Boys fika party if we ever get to
sleep. Yeah, we can learn.
Yeah,
or not. If, yeah,
okay. not if, just when.
When,
I think. Well,
you'll be invited. Don't worry. So you did all this whole adventure just to get a Low Tide Boys bumper sticker about feats of endurance. Is that true?
Of course.
Yeah, spot on.
Those are in the post for you now.
Yeah, it's so much more prestigious than, you know, being world champs.
So the bodies have recovered. Have the minds recovered? It sounds like they have, if you're already planning part two.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
And then what's next on the calendar for you all? Are you kind of taking it easy the rest of the year, or what is the outlook there? I know Sweden is doing a little bit better in the COVID department than the United States, so you're more fortunate than us.
Yeah, we're hoping that to do Ötula Ute at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. It seems like they're going to be able to have about 50 people starting at the time. So there will be different heats, but they will also sort out which group you should start in and things like that. So it looks like it could be pretty much a proper race if that's done well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they would get... Maybe they would kind of break it out. The first group would be kind of the top, the elite or the faster folks, and then middle, and then the back end of the pack. Is that kind of how they've been talking about doing that?
I hope that's what the talk is like, but we're going to have to make sure before we sign up for that one.
Yeah, you don't want to be stuck in traffic you're trying to make passes. And what about some of the later races on the calendar, like Malta or Hvar? Looks like it still might happen. Are you looking at those?
We haven't thought much about them yet. Guess we'll do that after.
Fair enough.
The bat, I think Malta would, you know, sounds more interesting than the other two, since we haven't done that one before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the only one we haven't won. We haven't.
Well, there you go. Wow, that was a little humble brag.
I like it.
A little humble brag there. That's great.
That's a good goal to take on with that one. Kraken Swim Run Club, or is it have an official thing, or is it kind of your unofficial training group name, or is it something? I know you guys are on Instagram, so where can people go to find out and relive some of this awesome journey that you went?
Well, it's an unofficial training club or group, but yeah, as you said, we're on Instagram at Kraken Swim Run, and that's sort of where we've gathered all the stuff from this event, and we'll see what we'll put up there in the future as well.
Yeah, and I'll have to say, I mean, we'll obviously link to it in the show notes, but it was so well done. I mean, you guys pretty much put up the Instagram page again. You know, we were tipped off by insiders of Kraken Swim Run that this was happening, but you put up your Instagram page almost pretty much right before the event. And it was, I mean, it felt like you were following along.
Yeah, it was
everything
awesome.
Was great. The stories were great. So it was such a great way to allow people to, kind of, so to speak, live the event with you. So yeah, it was awesome. And we'll definitely link it to people who can check out those stories.
Ah, cool. And nice to hear that it worked out so well.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, major FOMO around here.
Yeah, that was awesome. And we'll, as we kind of wind it down here, I'm curious, if you had to do it again tomorrow, what would be one thing that you would change and one thing you would do the same?
We would swim past that Hell Island, the Uncharted one.
Yeah, Hell Island. That's for sure.
Okay. And then one thing you would keep the same?
Oh, well, definitely try to make sure to have a group of friends like that with you. And not try to do it, minimize the crew and just go me, Pontus, and the boat driver and someone else, but to, keep the bigger group. That was, I think that did a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keeps the spirits high and everything.
Who do you think was the MVP of the adventure? Was it the boat driver?
Well, everything would sort of, collapse if that wouldn't have worked out. And he's very experienced, so you need to have someone that can be exact where he needs to be for every swim, and every time we needed to refill anything, or they did make everything easier for us.
Sounds like you owe him at least one beer.
Oh, yeah, at least.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, a beer.
Just one, though. Don't want him getting too crazy. George and Pontus, it's been really, I have loved hearing the breakdown of your whole adventure. We already know to find out Kraken Swim Run on Instagram, and everyone will be able to find that out here. And the best of luck to you in your upcoming races, and hopefully you do get the win at that next one if you do seek it out. But yeah, just really want to say thanks for coming on and sharing the adventure, and we'll be linking off to the Kraken Instagram account, and we'll kind of sync up our two networks to make sure everyone knows about this ultra swim run adventure that you all went on.
Oh, cool.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and we'll have to... I already forgot the word. Fika?
Yes.
Fika. 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 Yes. Sometime in Stockholm. But
until then,
yeah. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast and leave a review on iTunes if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for our newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. And check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. If you have any questions or suggestions for the show, drop us an email at lowtideboys@gmail.com.
We'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our show music, and of course our wives for their support and tolerance of our swim run activities, hobbies, and other bullshit we do.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. Until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then a run.
And then another swim.
Then another run.
And then another swim.
And then run to the finish line. And just keep going until you're done.
Yes. Or
until you cross the finish line.
Or run to the car.
Or run to your car.
Somewhere. Just keep running.